Okay, now we're coming to the last chapter in Romans 16. We have finally come this far, these many months, to Romans 16. And you would think, as you would just maybe would kind of read over this chapter, because of these names that are mentioned here, they're kind of hard to pronounce, they are for me, but they're special people. Romans 16 is just inspired, just as inspired as Romans 8, Romans 9, Romans 3. It just as inspired. God is calling attention to His people. The all-knowing Lord takes special notice of His people given to Him in that covenant of grace. He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." And think about this. He knows each of His sheep by name. He knows them personally. He knows them by name. You remember John chapter 10, He said, "I know my sheep by name, and they do follow me." Now, how long has He known their names? He has known their names and has known them personally before the foundation of the world. That's true of all of God's saints. Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. Now you think about that. He knew us long before we ever knew Him. He knew us. He knew us. He chose us in eternity. That is true of all of God's people. Whether we talk about Rufus or Peleus or Gerbane, or these people we read of in Romans 16, it's true of all God's people, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And then in time, He sends us the gospel. He sends us the gospel preacher, and He sends forth that word to our heart, and the power of His Spirit gives us ears to hear, heart to receive Him. He gives us an interest in those things which by nature we have no interest in. And He makes us willing in the day of His power. In time, He redeems us and shows us and teaches us that we are chosen in Christ, that we're justified by the blood of Christ. Remember I told you one of my favorite verses in Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Remember what it says? Justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. How long has He been our Redeemer? Long time. For He is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So when He mentions these people here, Phoebe and Priscilla and Aquila, what He says here and what He's doing, and as you look at this chapter, really what He's doing here, He's describing to us those whom He has chosen. This is the Lord's description of His people. And in their life that we have here before us, in the experience of their grace, we know the Lord calls them to Christ in saving faith. We call that the experience of grace. For salvation is not an isolated experience, but salvation is something by the grace of God that we do experience in our life. We experience the power of His gospel, the power of His grace, and He makes us willing in the day of His power. It's God who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now, this last chapter contains, if I didn't miscount, 36 names. 36 names of sinners justified by the Lord. Think of it. 36 sinners justified by the Lord, made objects of His mercy, made objects of His love. He set His love on old Rufus from the foundation of the world. And in time He called old Rufus to Himself. Of these 36 names, both men and women are mentioned, both young and old, both Jew and Gentile, who are called and described as who are loved of God, who labored in the Lord, who learned the gospel, and gave their lives unto it. it says of Aquila and Priscilla, I believe it is, it says there, who have for my life laid down their own neck. They put their life on the line for the gospel. Now that should get our attention. Now, look at verse 1 and 2. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Now, I love the way he writes that. She's our sister. She's ours, too. We're one family in Christ. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. You remember, that's a high title. He'd be called a servant of the Lord. Which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becoming saints. This is what saints do. They receive one another. They love one another. The saints of God, those are sanctified in Christ. That you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a help. That word there, succor. Our Lord is called one who has succored us, helped us, aided us. Many, and of myself also. Now, what was this special task that Phoebe had that he requests that they receive her and that you would assist her? You know what task and privilege and responsibility was laid on this woman? Look at the footnote at the end of chapter 16. Written to the Romans from Corinthus, sent by Phoebe, the servant of the church that's in Crete. You think about that. The very Word of God. The only copy that was made, written out by Paul, given to this woman from Corinth all the way over to Rome. What a responsibility was laid upon this woman. And yet Paul thought so much of her that he entrusted the very written, inspired Word of God that you hold in your hand right now. Isn't that amazing? I find that quite amazing. And of course, you know, this is all by the providence of the Lord. God laid that on the Apostle Paul to give this to this faithful woman. Faithful woman. Why didn't he choose a man? Why didn't he choose someone like Samson? Or someone like faithful Caleb? The Lord will use whom He will. Small, weak, insignificant people to accomplish His purpose. You know why He does that? That He might have all the honor and glory in the saving of His people. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Isn't that special? Paul says that she's been a great, great help to me and to many others as a servant of the Lord. Paul mentions other women in his epistles, and he says of them who labored with me in the gospel. Now, we've studied both 1 Samuel and we talked about Hannah, haven't we? How Hannah gave that special son that the Lord gave her, Samuel, unto the Lord. And we've also studied the book of Ruth. Remember how Ruth was married to the kinsman redeemer, Boaz. We've also studied the book of Esther. The book of Esther. That was a special study, those 12 chapters. You see, the Lord uses whom He will to magnify His grace. And in this case, it was Phoebe. Now, no doubt she didn't travel from Cenchrea. Cenchrea was a port city there in Corinth. A very busy port city. But no doubt Phoebe also traveled with others as she made her way with... You reckon how she guarded that word? Here's the Word of God. The only copy there is. Boy, she'd give her life for it, wouldn't she? She'd stand firm for it. I find that quite amazing. That you receive her in the Lord and become a saint, that you assist her in whatsoever business Boy, she's on the Lord's business. She's doing the Lord's business. She hath need of you, for she hath been a help of many and of myself also. And then this familiar husband and wife. God calls attention to Aquila and Priscilla, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, and to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. They give thanks for Aquila and Priscilla. Now, you know the reference there. Turn to Acts 18, Acts chapter 18. Here's the reference. Paul actually worked with Aquila and Priscilla. Acts 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. You got it? Acts 18, 1. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, for by their occupation they were tent makers. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found Aquila and Priscilla. Now, what a special, special time together. Notice how well they were taught in the Scriptures. Stay right here in Acts 18. And in verse 24, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the Spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Remember, the New Testament wasn't written. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogues, whom when Aquila and Priscilla heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, you think about that. Here's a mighty man in the Scriptures. Yet he was ignorant on certain things, and Aquila and Priscilla were so taught and rooted and grounded in the gospel, they were able to help Apollos. Look at the last verse in Acts 18. And after he was taught these things, he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the Scripture that Jesus was the Christ. What a special couple, Aquila and Priscilla. Were helpers in the Lord, who have for my life laid down their own necks, to whom not only I give thanks to the Lord for them, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. It's a miracle that any Gentile would believe the gospel. You think of the paganism that was rampant in that Gentile world. I mean, they had no scripture. They had no prophets. They had no tabernacle. They had none of these things. And yet God called out His people out of this Gentile world and established a church. Likewise, He says, verse 5, greet the church that is in their house. You see that? Now, a lot of churches in the early days started in people's houses. How many of you have been to Todd's Road Grace Church, and you go down there and you see that nice building and that large crowd? But you know how that ministry started? Started in Todd and Lynn's apartment when they were in college. Started in their apartment. And now, 40 years later, you see what 40 years of laboring in the Lord. So it's not a shameful thing to, when there's no place to go hear the gospel, for a small group of people. And this has happened many times, many cases I know of where churches started just with a few families, a ministry in Kingsport. That's how it started there. And we didn't go down there with a large crowd and big building. I mean, we met in a schoolroom every week for several years, and then in a storefront, and then finally they were able to purchase a small building. But it started, really, it started in the hearts of the Lord's people there. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Now, the second part of verse 5, salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits, or one of the first converts of Achaia, of that region of Achaia, in Christ Jesus. Greeting to my well-beloved Epaphras. Epaphras was an object of God's sovereign mercy. He's called the well-beloved Epaphras. And that is true of all of God's people, or is it not? The Lord said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And all of God's people are well-loved in the Lord. And he was a object of God's sovereign mercy. He said, I will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. Down in verse 8, it talks about another man, Amphilus, my beloved. And then Urbane in verse 9. And Sacchus, beloved also in the Lord. All of the Lord's people are well beloved of the Lord from eternity. This is that special, sovereign, electing love of God. And that's the only love of God that this book teaches. This book does not teach a universal fatherhood and the universal love of God. That's just not so. That's a lie that many people have believed for years. God is not the Father of all men. You make good on that? I believe I can. The Lord said of those Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. And then we know from Romans 8 that the love of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So these people are well beloved of God, loved with an everlasting, electing love. I've loved thee with everlasting love. Jeremiah 31, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you unto myself. The Lord, having loved His own, loved them to the end. I love to talk about, notice, as you read down through here, it doesn't put the focus on their love for the Lord, does it? Did you notice that? It doesn't put the focus on their love for the Lord. Now, I get a little bit concerned about people when they talk about how much they love the Lord. That concerns me a little bit. I'm more concerned about His love for us. I want to talk about how He loves us. He whom thou lovest is sick. Remember about Lazarus? It didn't say, well, Lazarus loves you so much. No, he whom you love is sick. You see, the focus is always upon the Lord's love for us. Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. Now, I don't like to sing that song, and I don't know that we ever have here or not, but oh, how I love Jesus. I have a problem with that because I'm so ashamed of my love to the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. I can say with John Newton. John Newton put it this way. I love the Lord, and I do by His grace. We love Him because He only first loved us. I love the Lord, but not like I should, not like I want to, not like I will someday. But how, comparatively speaking, what is your love compared to His love for you? Now, I don't want to talk about how much I love the Lord. Just don't go there. But if we're going to talk about love, let's talk about His love for us. Now, I can brag on that. I can brag on that. And then it says in verse 6, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. This is not Mary, the mother of the body of the Lord Jesus, nor Mary, whose seven demon spirits were cast out, but rather a humble servant of the Lord. Paul chooses, by inspiration of God, God singled her out. You see how intimately acquainted the Lord is with you? He knows your heart. He knows your name. He knows your trouble.
He knows everything about you.
That's comforting to me.
Lord, you know. Remember what David said? Lord, you know my frame. You know I'm but dust. That's all I am. Dust. Dust.
And then, verse 7, salute Adronicus, Janiah, my kinsman. Now, these may have been Jewish and of the tribe of Benjamin. You remember in Romans 9 and Romans 10 how Paul prayed for his, my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, that they might be saved. He said, I wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. But Adronicus and Juniah, my kinsmen, now notice this, my fellow prisoners.
My fellow prisoners. Now, I don't know that they may have been in prison with Paul when he was in prison. Maybe that's where they met. Maybe they were in prison for the gospel like Paul was.
But notice this in verse 7. Who are of note, they're notable among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Other apostles, Peter, John, these men, Adronicus and Juniah, my kinsmen, were noteworthy even and recognized among the other apostles. And they were in Christ before me. Now, Paul is saying in a matter of time, as far as time goes, they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ before I was. That is, when I met them, they were believers. But as far as God's eternal covenant, we're all in Christ before the foundation of the world. As I had on the radio program this morning, we are blessed with all spiritual blessing according as God has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Verse 9, Urban, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Verse 10, Apelles. Apelles, approved in Christ. You see that? Approved. Now, we know Apelles was a faithful servant of the Lord, but it doesn't say he was approved by his works. He was approved by his deeds. He's only approved in Christ. Now, what does that tell us? We are only accepted in the Beloved. You see that? Approved in Christ. Salute them that are of the house of Aristobulus and the household. Salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that are in the house of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salvation is in the Lord. Salute Tryphena, Tryphophus, who labored in the Lord. They labored. It was a labor of love. We're motivated and given who labored much in the Lord. Faith worketh by love. His love constrains us. And then I've got to get down Persistus, Tryphena, Tryphosa, who labored in the Lord, labored much in the Lord. And again, it's a labor of love. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. And then I got to get to Rufus. I love that. I love old Rufus. He was probably a rough guy. His name was probably Rufus. And they just shortened it to old Rufus. But notice, chosen in the Lord. How many times it says your people are beloved of the Lord and chosen in the Lord. And that's our hope, is being in the Lord, that we might win Christ and be found in Him. Salute then these names in verse 14 and verse 15 with all the saints which are with them. And then he says, verse 16 in closing, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, let me go back and mention this. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, his mother and mine. Now, his mother was chosen in the Lord, but evidently the mother of Rufus was like a mother figure to the Apostle Paul. and then greet one another with a holy kiss. This is a holy greeting that like we do when we meet one another, we shake hands or we hug one another's neck. This is a holy greeting. This is a greeting of love, greeting of affection. You know, I'm somewhat perplexed that I have to give you a bump this morning, because I'd rather shake your hand and embrace you. But a bump is to keep from spreading germs. But I think about the opposite. What would be the opposite of a holy kiss? I think about the kiss of one named Judas. His kiss wasn't a holy kiss. Remember, he came and kissed the Lord. It was a kiss of deceit, a kiss of betrayal. But we're to greet one another warmly in the Lord. And then he says, as I pointed out, the churches of Christ salute you. Now, we will not find in Scripture where it says the church of Christ. It's always plural. Churches. What is a church? Well, we have that universal church. Those called, chosen in Christ, and called out. That's what the word actually means. Church means the called out. The called out. The called out of darkness into His marvelous light. The calling out of the people by the Lord's call with the gospel, meeting together as a congregation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to worship Him, seeking to lift Him up. Now, I'm not big on names. I'm not big on names at all. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is where His glorious person and His effectual priestly work is declared. He is the head of the church. We are the body of that church, body of believers. Christ is the head, and we are the body of Christ. And I'm glad it's that way.